Blog Talk Radio.
No, it was my phone.
No phone.
Singing, why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand, use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan, change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Welcome to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and today's date is January 24th, 2018. Yes, we have a brand new year, and the show is brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, which is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation companies to address the economic effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity for solar installation for initiatives to bring down the unemployed and underemployment rates of our young African-American millennials attending historically white colleges and Black colleges around this country. It's also brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF, HBCU radio talk show, Solar Initiative, and you can get more information on that by logging on to our website at www.positivechange.com. P is in Paul, C is in cat.com. Our show is also sponsored by Scotton Communications, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, speaker bureau management, and that contact person is Dr. Gwendolyn Scott Bethay, and she can be reached at scottoncommunicationsnetwork.com. Once again, that's S-C-O-T-T-O-N, communicationsnetwork.com. And as I was indicating to you, we have a very, very, very exciting show today, and we're blessed to have Dr. Rhonda Adali on board. And this sister is truly a very, very dynamic young lady. She has been a trailblazer in what she is doing. President of the Environmental Health Global Group. And it began, the Environmental Health Global Group emerged out of hope for of a registered nurse who unknowingly purchased a home that was very toxic. She developed breast cancer and a stroke. Her son developed brain injury. With the support of healthcare professionals and engineers, she discovered that her region was under an EPA alert for high levels of toxins that cause cancer and brain injury. She began to research, to try to build and find solutions. She engaged and called the office of the Surgeon General and became a change agent for researching answers and developing evidence-based solutions to make indoor homes and our work spaces safer. We've identified a problem, and I have the privilege of having Dr. Rhoda Adali on board. Good morning, Dr. A.
Good morning, Mr. Bethea. How are you, sir? What a privilege it is to have this opportunity to be on your show this morning.
Well, I see that we've been joined by a host of guests this morning, and I am truly, truly blessed to have you on to talk about this very, very important issue as we look at the proliferation of technology, and we look at all these different technologies, and you know this show is called Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I think a lot of times we as a community of people of color, and specifically the African American community, I'm like Dr. Claude Anderson. I like to make it plain. I talk about Black folks, my folks, okay? We take a lot of things for granted every day by not questioning a lot of things. And I'm surely we are very, very blessed that you had the fortitude to question what was making you and your son sick, and to take it farther than that, to develop a business model, which is, I think, a change agent in environmental health, looking at the installation of PV systems, or which are what we call just putting a solar panel system on one's home. And I want our listening audience to first know who you are, Dr. A. Could you share a little of your background?
Absolutely. I want to, first of all, say good morning to your listening audience and to thank them for listening in this morning. And I thank you for the opportunity to share about our BioSmart solar system. As you shared, I'm a registered nurse. I've been a registered nurse for 42 years, and I'm currently a scholar in residence at Columbia University in New York City at Teachers College in the Center for Health Equity and Urban Science Education. And I've been a scholar there for some years now, about 4 years, and I've actually been a member of the distinguished alumni of the research group on health disparities, of which I've been for the last 10 years. So this subject matter of environmental health and looking at the environmental impact, the environmental toxins impact on our health, as you said, is personal to me, because who knew that your house could really make you sick unto death? And I was a professor on the nursing faculty at Howard University. I was over there, RN, to be at the program. Their clinical complex care nursing at the National Institute of Health. And so Howard, whether you're part of the faculty, the staff, or the students, the whole energy of Howard is about leadership and problem solving. Not, you know, you just don't look and find a problem and go sit down. If you find a problem, you seek a solution to resolve that. So being nurtured at Howard and being given the opportunity there to problem solve really conditioned me, such that when my husband died and I left Washington, D.C. and moved to the Midwest and bought this new house, and started getting sick immediately. I had no idea that I was living in an area that the New York Times was calling a mini Hiroshima, and that the area was classified as a radiation zone 1, the highest concentration of uranium off-gassing as radon in the nation. And that this area, the state was actually classified by the National Resource Council as the most toxic state in the United States. And so this is the place of my birth.
Doctor, not to cut you off, but it's very interesting the point that you just made. I think it's a very, very important point. As I was sitting down preparing for this show and I was reading this information, it came to mind, doesn't EPA have some type of listing of the toxic dumps that are around the United States of America? And to have a report that was put out, which I looked up, that was put out by the NAACP, the Environmental Justice Group, it shows that African communities of color, and specifically African American communities, are in a 70-mile radius of some type of biomass, nuclear, coal-burning plant that dump these toxins in the air. And we all realize that in our communities, our children have higher rates of asthma. We have higher rates of diabetes, seizures, and other diseases. But a lot of this stuff is caused just by the air and the construction that is going on in our communities of color with all of the gentrification and development that's going on in our communities. While they're building these buildings, our people, they're there. We might get pushed out after they finish with the process, but we're there. So were there any records to show that that area where you purchased the home? Because I know you purchased, I saw the picture online, it was a beautiful home. That was a new development. I mean, they knowingly built that in that toxic area. And then they sold it. Was that a predominantly African-American community? That was one of the questions that came to mind.
Well, you're absolutely correct. The EPA, you know, we have an amazing country. And the infrastructure of our country and the Bureau of Administration are amazingly tooled. And you're absolutely correct. Just by Homeland Security, there has to be an evaluation of chemicals in the air and radiation resources in our country, because it's a matter of maintaining our safety. And you're absolutely correct. Dr. Barbara Rendell's one of the founding editors of USA Today, who's one of our famous African-American not only broadcast journalist, but journalist. This has been her legacy of documenting how much toxin is in our community nationwide. And so it's known. The NAACP has done an excellent job in documenting and keeping us aware and litigating to reduce our exposure. And so the question becomes, since we have this information, what are we doing about it? And what is medicine's disposition on this? And so when I bought this house out in Ohio, in the Midwest, you know, if you know anything about Ohio, you know it's a vast farmland. So
I'm very familiar with Ohio. My aunt, she was residing in Akron, Ohio, before she passed. So I have family in Ohio.
Well, Ohio is officially classified as the most toxic state in the United States. And Al Gore did a movie called The Inconvenient Truth. And in that movie, he told the people in Ohio, you're going to have difficulty breathing after 2012 because the convergence of greenhouse gases, chemicals, and radiation will be so high that during the winter there will be massive people who have heart and lung disease and failure. And the Center for Disease Control issued a health alert to that end, and the Governor Strickland in 2008 did a press release also to the fact that the radon levels were so high. and the toxins were so high that people would begin to be sick with lung and heart disease. And to that avail, the doctors in Miami Valley in the Dayton, Ohio area, when you have a pulmonary function test, they reduce it by 40%. Because the new normal is if you have 60% of your lung capacity, in other words, your body is able to breathe and it has a reserve of air in your lungs, but then it has a backup reserve. And when your reserve, usually you're at 100% capacity. But if you're living in an area that has a lot of radioactive gas and chemicals, that reserve can be reduced. And so in the doctors that do pulmonary function tests, the pulmonologists, they're using 60% as the new 100% because the toxins in the air are so profuse that it is robbing people of the oxygen. And that's why across America we have a sustained condition called hypoxemia. So that means we have to have some intentional models. And as Al Gore says, save yourself. It means as consumers and as community leaders, we now have to look at preserving the health of the next generation, because this is what's so critical about radiation and chemicals in the air, especially chemicals. We can damage the DNA in the loin of men. So you could have a son, and he may not have cancer, but we can damage that DNA in such a way that your son's son
will have the cancer. That is some very, very valuable information that you just shared with our listening audience. And our listening audience can join us by dialing 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Dr. A, we have another guest on board, and I want to bring the guest on into our live studio. Yes? Hello? I'm looking at our guest here. Hello, guys? Good morning. Good morning. I don't know if they're hearing us, Dr. A, but anyhow, let's move on with the conversation. One of my concerns is I looked at the Environmental Global Experts, your change agents, cities, farms, and families that are plagued by illnesses caused by air and radiation toxins and environments. Because of the problems, America's under a national advisory alert. Many federal agencies and some communities, anyone on the street has cancer, asthma, diabetes, seizures, and other diseases. We believe that the environmental disease can be eradicated and health can be regained. We are also working to find ways to build capacity in reducing exposure, indoor toxins, and creating healthy indoors. But Dr. You have a lot of different balls in the air and irons in the fire. And one of the things that I am aware is the fact that you have been doing a joint venture with North Carolina Central University, and you've developed some devices that one can wear physically on one's body, and it can detect the amount of radiation or toxin that would be affecting one's body. Could you elaborate on that more, please?
Absolutely. As you said, the problem is so vast. We've got together a group of 48 visionaries who were scientists, medical doctors, registered nurses, environmental engineers, electrical engineers at Columbia, and we said, okay, where's our starting point? And we decided the starting point was in medicine, and that if we could mitigate the static in your home, the radiation coming off of electricity. Because when static and electromagnetic radiation coming from your electronics, your electrical system, if it is high, it can increase the assault of chemicals and radioactive gases in the house, like radon. And so we went to Germany, we went to Canada, and we began to look at how they were mitigating indoor environments and how they were, what kind of resources they had to address this problem. And then we realized that the tools out there, the machinery and the equipment is so expensive. The average static blocker starts at about $7,000. So we began to go back to the drawing board and pray. A number of us formed an allegiance with each other. We began to fast and pray and ask God for his mercy and for a solution. And I was suffering with breast cancer at the time. I had a slight stroke, but my son had a brain injury from this house. My 17-year-old son, his senior year of high school, lost his complete ability to learn. And so I began to convene forums and workshops and meetings at my house, and we decided we needed to focus in medicine because medicine has a whole cadre of environmental health diagnoses. In other words, doctors have diagnoses that they can render based upon injuries that patients have gotten from the environment. But we don't even use them in the United States. So we decided to make a care model so we could begin to use that. Then God gave me a download to make a static blocker, a nanotechnology that is so diverse in application that over the past 7 years, we developed it into a solar system, into a system that would be powered where we could have a nano cell that could take the energy from the sun that's harnessed in glass in your windows. And we could use that to make an energy wave off of the window that would mitigate the radiation, it would reduce the assault of chemicals, it would reduce the static charge on dust so dust would fall to the ground, to the floor, so to speak. So it would improve the air quality in the house and decrease the assault of radiation toxins that would minimize and decrease the assault of chemicals, household chemicals. And so we've been testing that concept for the last 10 years. And
I don't want to stop you right now because you're sharing some very, very vital information. But I want our listening audience that's listening in to the airways of Solar Now and the future with its economic impact to understand this is why we have created this platform. I think that what Dr. Adeli is sharing with us is genius, not on the verge of genius, but genius. Dr. Adeli, could you share with us where this research and development was done, and if we had any of our young research students at any of our HBCUs or at any of our historically white colleges and universities involved in this process? And the reason why I bring this in is because a gentleman by the name of Mr. Simeon Gant, who's based out also in California, he's in San Clemente, California. He has an organization called Green Technology Charter School. And they're doing some amazing, absolutely amazing things with young millennials, African-American millennial kids from our communities. They're training them to become energy advisors and training them to become a PV installation installers, as well as the other areas of growth jobs in the, and we'll get into this a little later on in the show. I don't know if you're aware, but this toxin that we have at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, he just decided that he would put a 30% tariff on solar panels being imported in the U.S. So I think that, you know, we can cut with, and that was just signed in as they had a smoke screen going about the shutdown. Nobody's talking about that. Very little national news have been covered about the fact that there has been a 30% tariff put on the import of solar panels coming from foreign nations. And this is going to have a devastating effect on the renewable energy industry. But I digress. I want to get back to your point, Dr. A. You were saying that this research and development went forth. Have you been able to secure any? Because I'm looking at grants every day for every nation in the United States, outside of the United States. If you look up, they've got grants for it. I mean, I spent about 4 hours yesterday looking at grant information and opportunities because it's January. This is the time of year you got to get these proposals in. And they've got a grant for everything under the sun, but things that are targeted to the toward the African-American community, communities of color, domestically in the U.S., it's not there. So I wanted to know, how has support come to support what you have done with your company? It's absolutely amazing what you've achieved, but have you been able to secure any governmental grants to assist with this research and development?
No, we have not. We are self-funded. Because this work was born out of our passion.
Please, slow it down. Would you repeat what you just said?
We are self-funded.
Is hearing this dynamic sister talk about what they have done, and they're having to self-fund this research and development, and this will save the lives of not just people of color, but people.
We were denied funding because they looked at the technology, they said it was nothing. And even though we could demonstrate by kinetic...
Put a plug in that. They who? Who is they? Was it EPA, DOE? What agency denied you funding?
Please understand, when this technology got developed, I had 7 months to live. This house, the radiation in your house should not be higher than 40 BMUs of radiation, or 0.4 milligauss, depending upon your measurement system. Mine was 1,500. It had irradiated all my organs. I was in heart failure. I had I developed diabetes. I had stomach digestion issues. I had sustained inflammation all over my body from my brain into my legs. I was swollen everywhere. The doctor said all your organs are in distress. My teeth were burnt. They were disintegrating like sand. And they said, you have about 7 months to live. And so I was dying, and I went to Central State University. They had an incubator. I showed them my technology and was encouraged to go there by Dr. Eric Lamont Gregory, who is one of the world-renowned medical doctors who specializes in radiation toxicity of the blood. And I went there. I showed them, because when you see the technology, it looks like a postage stamp, the first unit that was developed. I developed two units, actually, one that looked like a postage stamp and one that looked like a flying saucer. And it was a plate that would actually mitigate all static in a building. But there was nothing that we had to quantify it. I could show you that it worked. I mean, I could have you touch a smart board with the plate off, and then I would turn it on, put it on a pedestal, turn it to magnetic north, and it would block that static, and you would be able to touch that smart board, and you wouldn't lose any energy. And so then they encouraged me to go to the Cleveland Clinic. When I took it to the Cleveland Clinic and did a demonstration for the medical doctors up there, they were blown away and immediately wanted Cleveland Clinic to embrace it, but it was not commercialized yet. And Cleveland Clinic said they wouldn't touch it until it became a $30 million project. So then they took me to an accelerator, and they said, we can't engage this without validation. So they took me to Underwriters Laboratory. They said, we have nothing here to quantify this. So I couldn't let this baby die, because by this time, people are hearing about it, and they're buying the technology, and they're getting resolved in their health issues. For example, one of the patients at Cleveland Clinic, a child, was born and had three strokes before the age of 3 months. They said years old, they said she would never walk, talk, or learn. She had cerebral palsy, and all she did was seize. This child had over 2,000 minutes of seizures a week. And I put one of those plates in her house, and all of that went down to about 10 minutes of seizures a day for several months. And within 6 weeks, the child started talking, and within a year, the child started moving in her walking apparatus. Today, she's written 15 books, and one of them's about me. She's walking, talking, learning. She's still
wait a minute, doctor. Wait a minute, Dr. Adala. I mean, this testimony that you're giving is absolutely amazing.
And I'm telling you.
The sad part, Dr. Adala, until Brother Terrence Collins called me and I reached out to him and had him on the show, and my wife just retired. Her name is Dr. Gwendolyn Scott and Bethay. She was over the School of Communications Department, Publications Department. And I've been around Howard for 40 years. And, I mean, I had never heard of Dr. Rhoda Adali, PhD. And it seems to me with much noise, and that's what I call it, noise I hear on a daily basis across the airways of Black Talk Radio, that someone would have been bringing you on and exposing your work and this amazing technology that y'all developed. And the great part about, I apologize for that, and the great part about that is, as you mentioned the doctor at Central State, and I know that our HBCUs have Howard University in North Carolina Central. They've played a significant role in your development. And it just seems to me that the stations themselves, or somebody would be talking about this on a consistent enough basis so our people can get this information, because we're talking about a life and death issue. The fact of the matter is, the NAACP, Legal Environmental Justice Defense Fund, has put out numerous studies and reports talking about the high death rates in the African American communities nationally. You can, and this is not opinion. This can be backed up by statistical facts and data, that we have the highest mortality rates. And some of the autopsies that's been done on bodies of family members, because people died with cancer and never smoked a cigarette or anything else a day in their lives. But it was the air.
Yes, absolutely. Well, what happened was people began to start talking about me, and we had another massive miracle happen. There was a child that has a rare seizure disease. She had over 600 seizures a day. She's one of 100 children in the entire world. She's in clinical trials at Columbia University. And one of her health practitioners called me and said, I heard about your nanotechnology, and this child needs it. And I said, sir, I would not use my technology on this child because she's so medically fragile. He said, we got to use it, Dr. Lally, because we've tried everything else, and we're running out of time. He said, she is managed by a team of medical experts that can adjust her any kind of way. We're just asking for an opportunity to try. And so I did a video conference with these people, with these practitioners, and trained them about the technology and how to use it. And I sent it to them, and they put it on this child. She was 18. She had never been able to count money, not even a quarter plus a nickel equals 30 cents. She could never do math, not even 2 plus 3 is 5, and she's 18 years old. And they put this technology on her, and within an hour, she became seizure-free. And within about 6 weeks, she started being able to count money. Within a year, she was able to count math. She passed a college entrance exam. and the doctors had to put our technology into her clinical trials at Columbia University. And so at Howard, my tenure at Howard was from 1999 to 2005 in the School of Nursing there. And so when I started at Howard, I had not completed my doctorate yet. So, you know, I was kind of junior faculty, low on the totem pole for the first couple of years. But Howard's Sigma Theta Tau Gamma Beta chapter named me among the 100 most extraordinary nurses in Washington, D.C., because of my work in community health in the city, and also because I was president of a dance company. I had a dance company of youth that performed at the White House and over at the Rayburn Building. We did a lot of things with Congressman Walter Fontroy and Mayor Marion Barry, and they celebrated me for that, and I was did a number of things in the community. But back to my technology. And God said to me, you're going to have to fund it yourself. And so we sold the technology and invested 80% back into the technology, back into the process, so we could get it developed and do our own research and development. And then people started calling me because they were so sick to do their houses. And when we got into designing biobalance systems for houses, we actually found out that doctors could write prescriptions for our technology. And so the same doctor, about 2 years later, we had a child that was sent home to die. And the same doctor in North Carolina called me again and said, I have another one of those children that have over 600 seizures a day. And she's been sent home to die.
We've got a whole nother half an hour because I programmed a whole hour on this show today for you. But we're going to have to take a pause for the cause right now. We're going to have to, as we say, pay a few bills, and we've got a guest online, and I want to bring that guest on board at number 240-551-7667. And I've tried to get them to respond, but they haven't, but they've been waiting.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I just was listening. I didn't know that you were talking to me. I'm so sorry. I did not know.
No,
I'm just
not,
listening.
It's not a problem.
Up this information.
It's not a problem. We're gonna bring you back on board with Dr. Dolly after we take a little pause for the calls here on the airways of Solar Now and the future with its economic impact, and let Dr. Dolly catch her breath.
Here's a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the future with its economic impact on Black America. And you have had the privilege of being able to listen live to Dr. Rhonda Adali, who is the CEO and founder of Environmental Health Global. And she is truly, truly a trailblazer and a giant in what she is doing in developing these new technologies. And they've developed these technologies into a solar format that is applied to the window panes that can go into one's home. And she's much better at explaining this than I am. So I'm not going to be long-winded about that because I want to bring her back on the airways. But first, I want to bring our guest onto the airways. Good afternoon, guest.
Oh, good afternoon. Hi, my name is Christine Norris. And first, let me just say it's an honor and privilege to be on. This information is absolutely fascinating, and it's a godsend. I apologize again. I didn't realize you were talking to me, but I was just soaking up all this information.
This platform is for you. We designed this platform to bring a voice to what I call the voiceless, because as it relates to the field of energy and specifically renewable energy and the new technologies, there has not been a voice, there has not been a national platform to talk about the impact of African Americans. The American Association of Blacks in Energy, AIB, put out in 2009, which is quite dated. I've been begging Mr. Tracy Woods, the operational manager for AIB, to hit up some of these corporations that take our money every day as we go by the cash register to see if they could get some updated information. But in 2009, African Americans, we spent $41 billion in energy in America, but we only have 1.1% of the jobs and 0.8% of the wealth. And to me, that is a travesty. The Solar Foundation in 2015 put out statistical data stating that there were 260,000 people working in the solar and renewable energy industry across the United States of America. It was 23.8% women, 11.3% Hispanics, 8.3% Asians, Pacific Islanders, and 8.1% veterans. When it comes to the African American community, we bring up the bottom of the barrel again at 6.6%. So those numbers seem to be a little gray, less than gray, a little shady and misleading to me, because we're both genders and our young people join the military at a higher rate than any other ethnicity in the United States of America, because the military has always been a leg up for our young African-American youth that are coming from rural communities whose parents couldn't afford to send them to college. So being that I'm one of those from South Carolina, I know we joined the military at higher rates. So those numbers that were put out by the Solar Foundation seem to be more than shady, but that's the numbers that they put out. But in 2017, there was another 100,000 jobs created, because it was the fastest growing employment sector in employment because of Barack Hussein Obama's administration and the Sunshine Identity Initiative that he put forth through DOE. And that is what's so very, very, very disturbing to me when I'm listening to this dynamic system, Dr. A, talk about the fact that they've had to self-fund this project. When I look and come across hundreds of grants for research and development for anything and everything, but for those of us who look like we do that are doing the type of work that your organization, Environmental Health Global, Dr. Dolly, is doing is absolutely magnificent. And it is unconscionable and unbelievable to me that California leads the nation in renewable energies and research and development in this area, that you have not been able to get any support from any major funding sources for research and development.
Yes. And you know what? That probably was a God thing, because as we started winning gold medals and engineering competitions, the warfare against us was such that people broke in our lab. They tried to steal our stuff. They were trying to seize it. And what was saved us is that nobody funded us but us. They couldn't pull our funding from one way or another, and it slowed down our progress so that we were able to make mistakes that didn't cost us a lot of money. And because we were self-funded, literally, it was like the spirit of Elisha came upon me. Strangers from all over started flying me to do their farms, their mansions, their lakes, and it became a movement of the community so that we owned everything about it and nobody could come and try to take it once we got to this place. And so I was working with Dr. Bonnie at Howard University. He said, "Doc, this technology is so amazing. Did you see the movie Henrietta Lacks, the lady that had the immortal cell?"
No, I did not.
Anyway, you know the story. The lady was a patient of Johns Hopkins. They discovered that her cell would live outside the body and it was independent. It didn't need a host organ to survive. And they do stem work with it, and they heal people of cancer all over the world. There's been billions of cells cloned from her cell, even though her cell saves the lives of others, but they couldn't use it to save her life. And that's still a big question mark in the mind of most people that's involved there. Anyway, our system is powerless. It operates off of a nano cell that's powered by the sun. And you'd be amazed at how phenomenal windows are with harnessing energy from the sun. It's almost like a sacred energy. And what we can do with that energy, because not everybody can have solar panels. And I knew that solar panels were political when God gave me this. And I said, wow. So as he began to give us the download and show us what we could do, because we've made systems for water. We can give you a whole house alkaline water system that's powered in part by the sun, but it's powered by these nano cells. We can increase the alkaline in your water up to about 8.0, maybe between 8.0 and 8.5. It softens the water, stops the buildup of lime in the water, so you don't have to call Roto-Rooter for your drains. I mean, it's amazing what it does in water. We can take the static out of your electric system, and so that it corrects the power factor in your line and stops you from being tased, because right now, if your bed is pushed through the wall, your box springs is picking up that static from the electricity. You're laying in bed being tased all night long. That's why people get up feeling drunk with fatigue. They got that haze over in the morning, and they got to sit up and wake up because they've been demineralized all night long. And now that
I guess that would have some relationship when the panels captured the PV rays. It's DC, it's direct current, and then you comes down the wiring harnesses to the converter, and it converts converts that DC to AC. So I guess with this fast proliferation to try to get solar because of the need to save and deal with the amount of emissions in the air, I think that your technology should be a major role player with the growth of the installation of solar and community solar systems around this country. So how has this been received from the renewable energy industry? I spoke with SEER yesterday because they seem to want everybody to understand the impact of this new tariff decision that Trump signed that's going to take away about 23,000 jobs across the country nationally, and we're talking about this year. Anyone who would like to get more information, they can log on to our website at positivechangepc.com, click on our news and events tab, and it will provide you with the press release that was just released on the 22nd, 2 days ago. I actually received the email on yesterday from the Solar Energy Industry Association, SEIA, and I called them to get some type of idea of where and what kind of impact was this tariff going to have. And we're talking about billions of dollars getting ready to be lost and thousands of jobs at stake across this country because to make it very, very simple, you had two companies to bring an action in front of the Federal Trade Commission, and it ended up in front of Trump's 45, rather, because I don't even like to use the word, in front of 45, and he decided that he would, in fact, impose this tariff. But we understand that the politics behind this is rooted in the same gas and oil and coal industry which he has interest. So once you begin to start connecting the dots, you don't have to necessarily be a rocket scientist to put it together. So as it gets back to the technology and the work that your organization is doing, it's imperative that we get this message out, Dr. A, about what the environmental health global is doing and how can people around the country that are listening to this show, how can they help? How can they weigh in? How can they? Because it seems to me that local city councils, especially those city councils across this country who have African-American mayors and we have majority African-American populations, should be putting some type of legislation together to take a project such as the project that you have and help you work with our communities because of the health implications that it has on our communities. Because Dr. Calvin Roelof, who used to head the United Black Fund in Washington, D.C., if I could borrow a quote from him, he said, the only folks that don't save us is us. And it seems as though our communities seem to be missing the point. If we're not going to get, when people are getting it done, you're getting it done. Y'all are doing the work that you have to be supported. It's not like, well, she should be getting, no, it's not that she should. What you have commands the support, and it's too much as I see it every day. There are too many grants out here, and there should be some type of way that we can leverage what you're doing and get some members of the Congressional Black Caucus involved in this thing. We're trying to move this technology forward because it seems as though there's room for more research and development and expansion on your work. And it seems as though being that you are a product of the historically Black colleges and universities, that we need to be seizing upon that opportunity at our HBCUs. They should be called flying you in. They fly everybody else in who don't look like us.
And that's the blessing. That's what's happening. I was able to get strong enough. See, you have to understand, when God gave me this download, I was sick unto death. And the first person he blessed with help was me. These technologies provide me with the fortitude to be able to walk, heal my breast cancer, sterilize my son so he could learn again. And so I'm not frustrated by my journey because we found NASA, the space industry, had technology to measure and validate my technology. And when we found NASA and we hooked up with the electrophysicists, they're now retired from NASA, but we got the same instrumentation that they used to measure and quantify the static. It became on for us because the technology is in the sphere of quantum physics.
Wait a minute, Doctor. Just hold that point right one. right there, just one point, because, I mean, you got this information. What I'm saying is you shouldn't be frustrated. No, it shouldn't be you, Dr. A. It should be the black community. We should be frustrated that there people are not out here who can make a difference, that can make a difference, make that difference. Because the work that you are doing, I run across this every day. Genius runs in our race. I come across so many of our people who are extraordinary people doing extraordinary things, and they're just ordinary folk. But it's always the same scenario. I'm deeply aware of how we're rooted spiritually. I got no problem with that. But on this plane, and how I see things, the Creator takes care of those who takes care of themselves. And you've been doing that. But at the point in time, it has to move beyond you. And just like we can be having this conversation about a young African-American brother who chose to take a knee, a Kaepernick, and it can become a national phenomenon on major talk show this, talk show that. All I am saying, I don't know whether Sister Oprah done reached out for you or not, but you have been on our show. Have you been on that show yet? Because that's what I want to know. Has Oprah got in contact with you yet?
We're ready for Oprah now. See, we were told that because the technology is so highly innovative that we needed to press to get validation. And now that we found instruments out of the space industry and the military that will quantify what we do, we're ready. And what has happened is a groundswell support, because a number of these faculty and members of HBCU, their family has cancer, or they have cancer. Mm-hmm. And they have attention deficit disorder. They're going blind. And Dr. Barbara Reynolds, the famous journalist I was telling you, was going blind in her right eye. I can tell her testimony because she's been on several talk shows with me sharing it.
Dr. Reynolds is on the airways of WOL Radio. I don't have a problem with giving him a commercial hit. And that sister, she's been fighting. And she's been fighting, and she's been fighting a good fight forever. So, you know, I'm quite aware of Dr. Reynolds and her work. But as you're indicating that you've been able to touch her, so that is a blessing. And go right ahead, Dr. A. I apologize.
No problem. I mean, she shared that she was losing her eye, and she needed radical surgery on her eye. She had a hole in the macula. And it was so inflamed that she was legally blind. Her sight was 20 over 100. And she was struggling to finish the memoirs of Coretta Scott King. She had deadlines to meet, and she was not going to be able to meet them because they wanted to do surgery on her eye, and she was going to have to sit in a particular position for hours and hours a day. And we came in, evaluated her office. The radiation levels were over 400. Evaluated her home. They were over 300. He said, they're not supposed to be higher than 40. And she had glasses that was picking up the static from her computer and assaulting her eye. Lenses will laser the eye and decrease the circulation in the eye. As soon as we did her office, her glasses, and her house, literally within 10 days, her sight went from 20, 100 to 20/40. And I told her, you need to get a second opinion on this surgical process. And by the time she got to another eye surgeon, he was like, who told you need surgery? You don't need surgery. Her eyesight, all of the swelling had gone out of the macula, and it was healing. And in 5 weeks, it had healed itself. And she was rebalanced, and her sight is 20/30 in that eye.
Well, Dr. A, I want our guests. I want our guest to sort of chime in. Hello, guest?
Yes, I'm here. And let me tell you something. First, it's an honor and a privilege to be on. Just listening to you, doctor, is so inspirational. Thank God for this wonderful gentleman having this platform as well, giving us this opportunity to share. And I pray that millions can get access to this. As I'm listening to you, first of all, just your story alone, the fact that you had 7 months to live and God turned it around. It's like he took your burden and created an opportunity. He created a breakthrough, not just for you, but like I said, to save millions. And I'm thinking about even my family members, even myself. I know I have family members and friends with headaches, with ocular hypertension. I was just listening to you about Dr. Reynolds. I have family members who are dealing with dementia, and it's an epidemic now. And listening to the technology that God inspired you to create, I know that it could be a turnaround in their lives just with this technology. I have family members who died from cancer, family member, one of my aunts, for instance. She thanks the Lord she's in remission, but she also has ocular hypertension. And this could do a turnaround in her life. I have friends and family with autism. It has been an epidemic. I'm just looking at the news. I'm listening to family and friends. And you see these epidemics, and nobody knows where it's coming from. It's like, okay, where's all this dementia? Where's this autism? Where's all this stuff coming from? Is it in the food? Yeah, the food could be part of it. Is it in the air? But when you hear about it being in your home, if the toxins are in your home, where they're
exactly
supposed to be your sanctuary, that's a scary thing.
I wanted to ask you, not to cut you ladies off, I just want to share this information, Dr. A.
Okay.
I'm quite sure you're aware of the effects of the oil spill on the Gulf Coast down on Florida and Louisiana and Mississippi. Now, Reverend Walter Fauntleroy's brother, he's a longtime warrior out here on the pathway fighting for our people down in the Miami area, and he's been beating the drum about the effects of the bacteria, flesh-eating bacteria, and all of the different toxins that have affected our communities of color disproportionately behind the oil spill in the Gulf. Nobody has come, and this is what's so frustrating to me. Nobody is talking about that. You hear Dick Gregory was championing that with Sister Faye Williams. They had been out doing some work about this whole issue. But when you begin to talk about the technologies that you have developed, it would seem like to me that they would also be transferable in fighting some of these toxins from this oil spill. That is why it's the frustration that you may, that I'm not trying to pass it over to you, but that's what's frustrating to me, because you have a solution in the technology that you're talking about, because when you begin to look at the numbers, and I'm going to sort of try to nip this in the bud, right here in Washington, the nation's capital, over in Northeast Washington, D.C., around 34th and Benning Road, Pepco used to have an old coal burning plant over there near Spingarn High School. When you go to the Bureau of Vital Statistics here in the nation's capital, when you go back and start looking at the mortality rates for cancer and everything else related to asthma, and you'll find that that geographic area has, with African Americans, has had the highest death rates. And when you go and start looking across the country nationally, you see the same thing multiplying themselves as you go to communities of color across this country. And this is not an accident. I think a reverend per year, if you're not familiar with this brother, he's head of the Hip Hop Caucus, and he has a ministry. And he goes around to our historically black colleges and universities, and he talks about these toxins and the impact of that it is having on our communities, and specifically African American community. And he calls it what it is: it's genocide. So when I use a word like genocide, to me, that's a very powerful, powerful word, and it is what it is. I'm not making it up. The numbers bear it out. And the technology that it seems that you're not seeing, but the technology that the Environmental Health Global, your organization has developed, it looks as though those technologies can be transferable to helping these other arenas.
They can be. We just built a system for a lake in Canada, a head lake that was having some bacteria and other things that were growing in the lake, and we built a system, and it's been in that lake for about over a year, and whatever problem they were having, and I'm sorry I don't have the notes in front of me, it helped to resolve the problem. It increased the alkali in the lake, and it helped to sustain oxygen in the lake so that the bacteria in the algae that they were trying to, the problem they were trying to address was resolved. So you're absolutely correct. We have nano cells that will biobalance chemicals so that you can use the chemical, but the assault from the chemical is reduced. And so these are the type of things that the future is ahead of us. And that's one of the reasons why we relocated to Washington, D.C., because it is the seat of black power globally, and we needed the strength of Howard. I was speaking at a conference down in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Dr. Dunstan from Howard School of Medicine said, get your butt back to Howard, because they've opened up an innovation center. And so Howard is helping us to position for, you know, business development, because what we would like to do is actually partner. I wish we could do the GPS model with this technology, because this technology is so diverse across the spectrum of environmental mitigation, not just for radiation, but for air purification, for gas, for water. I mean, it is just every system that sustains life. And I'd like to bring a consortium of businesses together to buy the technology, and we develop it like the GPS. The GPS was developed by the U.S. Army, and then they took it to Carnegie Mellon, where they looked at it and did a feasibility study on how they could take it from the Army to the world. And that technology returns $1 billion revenue back to the city of Pittsburgh with, I believe, five partners: the Army, Carnegie Mellon, University of Pittsburgh, the city, and another entity. And so this is why I want to make D.C. the seat of biosmart solar technology for the world.
$32 million sitting at the Public Service Commission here in Washington, D.C., Dr. Adele, and they don't even have a plan on how they're going to use this money. I go around here, and one of the things that we do here on the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America, we follow the money. Conversation is fine, but money talk and the rest of it can't even get in the wheelchair because,
well, we're ready.
In a capitalistic society, which we exist in every day, we have to understand about what is the most valuable commodity in a society, and that's its people. People have no idea. When you begin to crank the numbers on what it takes to raise a child from infancy to 21 years of age, and then turn around and say to baby boomers, well, they don't have no retirement. Couldn't nobody save no money? If you had 3-4 children, yeah, that is your money, whether you like it or not. And see, I used to be a school, people call them school teachers. It's a term called school teachers and school educators. I was blessed. My mother was a master teacher. Her name was Dr. Maud Ember McLeod, But she was a Renaissance woman of Hell from Dillon, South Carolina, and my mother went to Morris College, and she received her master's degree from Columbia University back in 1950, a year before I was born. So if you know anything about the Deep South and black folks getting education, for her to be getting a master's in speech pathology in 1950 was sort of revolutionary at that time. So my grandmother, God bless her soul, Ms. Emma McLeod, she used to pick 300 pounds of cotton. As a little boy, I'd be in the field with my grandmother, and she sent my mother to school. So what I'm saying, I had a very strong father and strong grandfather. So I was blessed from coming from a background of knowing what struggle is. Not talking about it, but it's not what you say, it's what you do. And you are doing the work. So when we began to sort of look at where we come from to have to appreciate where we're going, and one of the things that I will say is that our show goes fast when you give it some information that you need. Now, I programmed this show for you for an hour, and I would love to have you for more than an hour, but I don't know if I can steal any more of your time. But I want to thank you for coming on the airwaves of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America and providing us with this magnificent interview and the information on Environmental Health Global. And as you emerge with your programs and what you're doing, I would love to have you back on a consistent basis. And that's one of the things that I'm beginning to do now, because I just see that there's so much information that's out here that our young people need to know about, because this is the new type of technology. And I know you're working with Howard Universities. How many other HBCUs are you working with? I know you've mentioned Central State, and I know you've also mentioned North Carolina Central. So how many HBCUs are you actually working with now, Dr. Adele?
Well, that's it. We actually have a number of faculty at North Carolina Central that have had their homes done because they've seen such a leap of faith in a couple of students had their houses done down in Charlotte. One's wife had cancer, and she was practically bedbound. She was so weak. And in a matter of a week, she was up, and a matter of about a month, she was back in the gym. And that the story of her life and her miracle went throughout the campus. So another faculty, they actually had me down there to speak at an education and technology conference. And when I showed them how classrooms, if you have a lot of windows in the classroom, it's highly assaulted. Windows can be like taser guns. And they were blown away that one faculty member said, I want you to do my house and my mama's house before you leave the town. And so we've done houses, and that has culminated into the group of faculty practically. They engaged a construction company to validate our technology, and now they're positioning to see how we can come and form a partnership and relationship, because our technology is unique. We're the only company in America that does a health safety check before and after installations of our technology. What's happening now, you get solar panels on your house, you may get so sick you may end up in the hospital because they are a source of non-ionizing radiation, and they can cause the microcirc to go up so high in the house that it elevates your blood pressure, causes your diabetes to be crazy, and makes you feel like you got dementia.
Well, that's why, Dr. A, we want you on this the airway of this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America, because this is an economic impact. If you're saying that people installing these PV systems, it can affect their health, then they need to know what those risks are, and they need to know how to, if they want to install a PV system, that they, in fact, take the necessary safety precautions to protect ones and their families in this industry. Because there is a model program coming out of Washington, D.C., which is called the Solar for All program. This Solar for All program is a new solar energy initiative by the district. Goal is to reduce the energy bills of 100,000 low-income households by 50% by year 2032. Families with an income, now this is what the AMI here is in Washington, D.C., as of January 24, 2018, a household of four making $75,050. Household of three, $67,550. Household of two, $60,050. Household of one, $52,550. This a specific Solar for All project is open only to single family homes and row houses in town. To make a long story short, $14 billion has just gone out of the doorways of the Department of Energy and Environment here in Washington, D.C., to nine organizations. One African-American organization, which is Peer Consultants, which is also headed by a very dynamic sister by the name of Dr. Lillian Abron of Peer Consultants, and I would recommend that you go to my website and you click on that link, because she started out in 1978 here in Washington, D.C. She was the first African-American woman in this country to receive an engineering degree in environmental engineering and to start a consultant firm. And she started in 1978 with three people. Today, she has six offices nationally and two offices internationally in South Africa. And she employs over 100 scientists and engineers. So I think that may be the technologies that you are working with, may be something that you would like to get in contact with Dr. Abram, because I think y'all would make a dynamic duel together because of what her organization is doing and what your company is doing. And I have programmed this show today for an hour, and so we've got about 12 more minutes. So I'm going to let you round down. And is there anything else, Dr.
I want to thank you for having us on the show, and certainly for your guests, the listener that called in and was just affirming us and expressing her opinion about it. The good news is God has heard the prayers of his people, and many people cannot get solar panels because their roofs are flat or they don't have enough shade. We are a solar alternative service, because we can put our technology on any house. As long as you have a window in any direction, you can have our technology. And we'd like to say we are sustainable in that we reduce your energy costs by an average of about 10%, and we're biosustainable in that we take down the assault of chemicals and radiation in the house, so it helps to promote your life and sustain your health. And the future is ours.
I'm so excited to be back in D.C. and making these connections because you're right, Mr. Bethea, it's time now. And we are an opportunity for jobs. We've created a whole new industry. We are not dependent on China for manufacturing. Our manufacturing is done right in the United States. We are a portion of the cost of solar panels on the roof, and we are, because we're biosustainable, we don't render a salt. We don't increase the microsurge. We decrease the microsurge in the radiation in the home by an average of about 98%. And so we look forward to partnering with you, Mr. Bethea, as a voice, a marketing voice guiding us, you know, maybe even in the capacity of an advisory, because there's certainly a lot of gravy in this pot, and we need expertise of people like you that can give GPS us along the way and make some introductions, because I know a lot of people in the community, people that you have, I don't know, Dr. Abrams, but I know a lot of people in Washington, D.C., and I'm just looking forward to favor. I'm back in the city knowing that God is going to meet me there and he's going to take this to the next level because this is his technology. I'm just the armor bearer, and I'm just the one he created to bear this cross for his people because it is an expression of his mercy and grace. And just watching it heal so many people there in Washington, D.C., and across this nation has been amazing. I'm going to dash because I do have a 1 o'clock meeting, but it's been wonderful to share with your listening audience. And thank you again for your vote of confidence in us. As I said, we are the double gold in engineering for this technology and how it's retrofitting environments and sustaining our health. So thank you so
much. Well, Dr. Lee, you will not be a stranger on the airways of Solar Now in the future with its economic impact on Black America. I assure you of that. And I'll be reaching out to you and any kind of connection that I could be assistance, you know, you got that. Because like I said, this one of the things that I went over and I met with Mr. Collins. And as we say to people, we can always help each other. Because, see, the positive change purchasing, we are a cooperative. We were designed specifically to try to work with our African-American solar installation companies to increase market share for our companies in an industry that generates $200 billion. Now, out of 9,929 solar installation companies, we don't have 11 African-American solar installation companies in the United States of America doing business. To me, that's a travesty. And when it comes down to the politics, it's politics as usual. And Dr. Neely Fuller can say, if you do not understand racism and white supremacy in America, then everything else you think you might understand will confuse you. And Dr. Francis Wilson will always say, it's the system. So I want to thank you for coming on the airways of this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. Dr. Dolly, it's been a privilege and a pleasure to have you on this show today. And we're going to close out our show shortly.
I just wanted to ask quickly, how can we get in touch with Dr. Lale to get an assessment done on our home?
Let me do that, right? Let me do that. Would you please give out your phone number? And people, you can also log on to our website and click on our news and events tab. And we have her information there also on our website, positivechangepc.com. Click on news and events. Now, Dr. E, would you please give out that phone number, please?
Yes. Our number is 800-615-0456. 800-615-0456. And I'm at extension 106.
Okay. Wonderful. Because I just wanted to ask one thing. Until we get this assessment, what are some tips? I know you have to go, but what are some tips you would suggest to help prevent radiation or, you know, until we can get something like what you have?
I tell people that in your bedroom in particular, your bedroom is the most dangerous room in the house because when you lay down, your body absorbs energy from the environment to heal. Unplug electrics in your bedroom, electronics. We have to become European. The Europeans do not sleep with a lot of electronics in their bedroom. Okay, unplug those TVs from the wall because a flat-screen TV irradiates even when it's plugged in and turned off. Do not plug your cell phones in at the head of the bed. Don't even have them in your room. Cell phones should be 20 feet away from your bed when you're sleeping. And sleep with your foot at your head at the foot of the bed. There are massive numbers of people getting aneurysms, thyroid disorders, headaches, breast cancer. D.C. has the highest incidence of African-American women dying from stage 3 or 4 breast cancer right now. Get your head off the wall and sleep with it at the foot of the bed.
Wow. And you know, I can. That's incredible,
well,
right there.
Well, ladies, I'm going to have to close this out because we just have a few more minutes and we're going to be off the air here on this platform today. So I want to thank you, Dr. Dolly, and I want to thank our guests for being sharing this much needed information on this platform, Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And that was Dr. Dolly, the founder of Environmental Health Global, experts that are change agents for cities, farms, families that are plagued with illnesses caused by air and radiation toxins in the environment. Because of this problem, America is under a national advisory alert by many federal agencies and some communities. Everyone on the street has cancer, asthma, diabetes, seizures, and other diseases. She believes environmental disease can be eradicated and health regained. She's working to find ways to build capacity for reducing exposure to indoor toxins and creating healthy indoors. Now, as we switch gears here, we got about a few minutes left. I want to basically share with you, our listening audience, President Trump's decision on solar is a loss for America. This is a press release released by the Solar Industry Trade Association, SEIA. The National Trade Association, U.S. industry, and its members expressed disappointment in the decision by Trump to impose 30% tariffs on imported solar cells and panels. Decisions effectively will cause a loss of 23,000 American jobs this year, including many in manufacturing, and it will result in delay and cancellation of billions of dollars in solar investments. While tariffs in this case will not create adequate cell or molecule manufacturing to meet U.S. demand, or keep foreign-owned Sylvania or Solar World afloat, they will create crisis in part of our economy that has been thriving, which will ultimately cost tens of thousands of our hard-working blue-collar Americans their jobs. And you can log on to our website at www.changepc.com, and you can get more detailed information on our website. And we're going to say, this show was brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, the Black Sports Legend, BSLF HBCU Radio Network, and by Scotton Communications, specializing in following public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional newspaper production, online and traditional speech writing, book writing, editing, publishing, speaking bureau management. And that contact person is Dr. Gwendolyn Scott Bethea, and you can reach her at ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com. And until next week, for joining us on the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And we hope we brought you news that you can use.
Someone singing,
I can tell.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan.
Change it.
Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life.